Yeah, g'day, mate. You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Morning. We've got a Who Shot Scott lined up over the phone, I assume coming to us from the Big Smoke, Tamaki Makaurau. Good morning to you, Mr. Scott. How are you?
Good morning, Zach. How are you doing?
Things are going pretty chill here. I have overcompensated with the heater in the studio, so I am cooking alive. Nice. But it is, it's a choice between either a sauna or a freezer here at the moment.
I think you chose correctly.
Thank you. Are you big on saunas?
I'm not, actually. Funnily enough, my partner works at a wellness studio that has like saunas and ice baths and like float tanks and stuff, but I've only ever done the float tank. I've not done the sauna yet.
Did you find the float tank to lead to some amazing self-actualizing?
Somewhat. I think more than anything, it's just relaxing. I'm a person who's like a little bit anxious, and I think that stems from like a need for control. So like a float tank is the best sort of thing for that, just to like surrender completely, just that sort of thing. So yeah, I quite enjoyed it. Yeah.
It sort of lines up with your daily transcendental meditation as well, I imagine.
Yeah. I've been big on like just trying to quiet down the outside noise and just like, create a more peaceful, meditative life.
I read that you're a big bossa nova guy, in an RNZ piece. You know, I love me some Stan Getz and the Gilbertos and that Quincy Jones album. What's your go-to bossa nova?
That's exactly the same. I love the Stan Getz and Joao Gilberto, Astrid Gilberto, that Quincy Jones album as well. Really, really dope. That's the one that they used for Austin Powers, eh?
It is, yeah. That track, I think it's called Soul Bossa Nova, which is just absolute capital B banger.
Factoid
came from an online RNZ piece, I'm pretty sure, for Music 101, labelled Who Shot Scott is Not Some Crazy Guy. Did you see the photo they used for that article? It's you looking pretty crazy. It's like your hands on your head.
That's my reaction to being called a crazy guy. That's why I'm so upset.
It's a valid crash out. but you've released this new track called Peak in High School, which is coming off of your new record Heary, which is dropping in early June. The track is really about you owning your experiences in high school, which were pretty horrible, from being humiliated by teachers and then ritually bullied by classmates. It seems like there was sort of a racial element in there as well, from what I've heard. Has it been a long time to get to this point where you're on an upwards climb, analyzing this sort of trauma?
Yeah, I reckon. I mean, it was one of those things where it's been so long since high school, and I grew past a lot of the experiences, to be honest, and life went on and things happened and good thing, just as life does. But when it came time to writing my debut album, there was always this thing that I had. I was like, man, I have so many stories from my adolescence, that really shaped who I became as a adult in this world. So I wanted to express them, just because I feel like it's kind of almost like the backstory to all the stuff. I've released quite a bit of music now as Who Shot Scott, and a lot of it is this very like reflective, emotional, sort of vulnerable music. But I feel like this album is kind of like the backstory, the context to why I am the person that I am,
A lot of people would ask, what would you tell yourself at a younger age going through all that? But I want to know, what would you say to the bullies who tried to thwart your creativity and well-being, and that only made you pursue your spark more?
This is the thing, is like now I have nothing but empathy, because I'm like, what were they going through?
Exactly.
They said, bullies bully or whatever, even later on I did hear some stuff of the same kids that were bullying me, and I heard some stuff like many years later about how their home life wasn't the best and all of this stuff. And so like it's a very different situation now. I would definitely not in the songs, because I'm talking from the point of view of my 15 to 18 year old self or whatever, they're very it's like a very bitter approach. It's very like, hey, look at me now, I'm way better than you. But really now, like, if you truly ask me, I would not, that's not my approach. My approach would be more to just listen and just
give a hug,
try to hear, maybe a hug, or just understand, because Yeah, all of that stuff is learned, eh? And it's learned from somewhere, and it comes from deeper places. And everyone, life is hard, you know. Like everyone's got their own struggles and stuff, you know. But I'm just, you know, with this album, I'm really just like, I felt the only thing I could really do was like tell my story from at that point of view. I just thought that was an interesting point of view artistically, you know. Yeah.
But, I mean, these are some dedicated bullies. Like I read that they would blast a speaker playing your early work outside your house, which is like, there's some Ferris Bueller's Day Off type shit, you know?
Yeah. I remember that. Like, I was like literally outside. Yeah, it was maybe like 8 p.m., 9 p.m. I was at my house, and they like came outside in the car, and they were like blasting the songs, and they kept like saying my name and stuff like that. Yeah, but then I didn't go outside, but I remember I'm like, oh man, like, they know where I live, like, you know. It's stuff like that. And it was, you know, like there was a lot of like typical, like, yeah, like you say, Ferris Bueller, almost like cartoonish bullying stuff happening, you know, like getting pushed around and stuff like that. And it's just like, I'm like, that, even that is kind of like learned, you know, like from, maybe it's learned from movies or I don't know, but
all Looney Tunes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Wiley Coyote. Yeah,
they put a bunch of dynamite under my house and they tried to.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry you had those experiences, but that is, I mean, they're dedicated for whatever reason. The music video for this track, it features you at a desk with lots of 2000s paraphernalia around. Is it accurate to what your high school bedroom might have looked like?
Somewhat. I guess I gave like some references to Connor, and then I suppose they filled in the dots. But I did like wrestling, and I did like you know, obviously like a lot of like alternative music and stuff like that. So I, you know, it was kind of like not the exact. I didn't have the exact say of the exact things, because if it was, it would probably be a lot of like basketball photos. I was really into basketball at that time, but I think that it's kind of the thing where it needed to make sense aesthetically as well with Who Shot Scott, you know what I mean? Because it's like, it's like an expression, you know what I mean?
Totally. One of the things I really appreciate about this song is the very, very catchy melody. How does that come to you?
I don't know how anything, I literally don't know how anything comes. Like, I don't know where they come from, but I'm just happy that they exist. And I swear it's like that thing, I don't want to get too like spiritual with it, but it's just like the thing of like constant meditation and just like quieting down the outside noise. Those ideas seem to channel through a little bit smoother, and it's just like a reaction, you know. It's like I'll play a little synth part or I'll play a little bass line, and then the next thing that comes to mind will be that, you know. And I'm just blessed that I was there in the moment to catch it, you know, and put it down on a record, you know.
I appreciate that. That's sort of like what David Lynch says about good ideas. They come to you. You don't come up with them.
Yeah. It's like catching the big fish, right? It's like that's what he talked about. Yeah, definitely. There is an element of it's like it's a fine balance, right? It's like at the start of the process, it's like all this intuition and just feeling the right ideas. But then, like, as time goes on, you know, then I think, okay, cool, I want to make this album that I want to write about my high school experiences. Okay, well, these words have to make sense with that whole concept, you know. So that's when a little bit more of the still super intuitive, but a little bit more of the like, okay, conceptual sort of brain comes in, you know, and trying to like take those ideas, the melody ideas or the rapping ideas and stuff, and try to, like, you know, from a storytelling standpoint, make them make sense.
The new record, Heary, is set to arrive on June 5th. Should we expect more of the UK sort of garage electronic-y production, like the stuff on this new track?
Actually, sort of, yeah. Actually, one of the other tracks does have a bit more, not quite as UKG in terms of, like, I think this one probably has the most UKG because of the drum groove, but there are some other ones that do, in my mind at least, fit sonically in the same world, like could be the cousin or the sibling of this track.
You're about to head off to Bristol for the Great Escape, then North by Northeast in Toronto. How are we feeling about the travel? Are we feeling pretty chill?
Pretty chill. Big flight, you know, coming up, flying kind of direct, like, well, not direct, but, you know, flying through Vancouver and then straight to London, with a little 1.5-hour stopover. So feeling feeling ready for that. But yeah, I'm really excited to go over. I'm also doing a tour in the middle of the UK, so I'm doing Manchester, Bristol, and London as well, just like headline shows. So yeah, it's gonna be really fun.
What would you do if you saw Drake in Toronto? Would you say hi? The Six Guard.
I'd be like, I don't know. I mean, I'd be like, hey man, can you share my song on your story? No, I don't know. Yeah, just say hi, I guess. I used to be a huge, when I was a teenager, funnily enough, I used to be a huge Drake fan, but then it's kind of completely 180'd now where I just can't stand him as much. So I'm just like, oh, like it's weird. It's weird. I have a very strange relationship with Drake because I genuinely used to be like a massive fan of him. And then as I grew up, I realized listening to his music wasn't influencing my music in the best ways, and I wanted to make more like alternative stuff that was influenced by like 90s, you know. And so I feel like you asked that question like real low stakes, but that actually struck a chord with me. I was like, oh no, there's like a real deep backstory there with Drake. If I see him, I won't know how to react.
We used to be best friends and then he betrayed me in high school.
he
gives off peaked in high school energy, I think. At least nowadays he does. Back in the day, maybe not so much, but he's kind of, anyway. Thank you so much for coming on and talking to me about this new song, man. I'm really excited for the record. Do you have any final thoughts or opinions to leave our listeners with?
Just like, you know, be kind to each other and love, you know, find love in everything you do and all that good stuff, you know. And yeah, just kindness is evergreen.
Amen to that. All right, thank you so much, Mr. Scott.
Cool. Thanks so much.
Take care, man. All right, folks, that was Who Shot Scott. We're talking to him about his new track Peaked in High School, which we're going to play for you very shortly, and then we'll be joined by Fergus Parks from the OUSA Executive to talk about what he does as the post-grad rep. Here is Who Shot Scott with Peaked in High School. You're listening to The One. Keep it locked.
There's nothing left to say. There's nothing left to do. There's no one left to run. Nobody left to call to. There's no one left to find. There's no one left to stand. The subject I've become is an insult about you. Feeling all vibes, it's just so heaven sent. Seeing in my eyes, we talk a little soon. There's nothing left to say. There's nothing left to do. There's no one left to play.
Yeah, now, Steve's, that was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.